God is good. Hallelujah. God's got a plan for your life, right? We just got to relax in Him and let him do what He wants to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we come before You today, and we're coming into Your Word, Lord, so we know that when we read out of Your Word, we're in Your presence. So we come humbly but boldly, reverently, God, but excitedly, because we know, Lord, that You speak to us out of Your Word. And You said that the entrance of Your Word brings light or illumination. Father, even reading in parts that don't really line up with what we're going through, Lord, You can speak through it and change our hearts and change our minds. And Lord, we're grateful for the miracle that is Your Word. And I thank You, Holy Spirit, for moving in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, He is so good. He's so good. Yes, ma'am. Wait a minute, so the people online can hear you. To bring up to date, she said she's sorry, but not sorry.
There's such a beautiful anointing here this morning. There's such a precious Spirit of the Lord. And as I was sitting here, I began to think, the Scriptures is casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. And I want you to know, if you're part of this body, they care for you too.
Yeah, amen.
And that was shown to me yesterday in a miraculous way. 3.5 years ago, I ended up in the hospital and lost the use of my left leg. It's been a slow coming back. But at home, I'm not having to use the cane. I'm totally off the walker. God is doing a work in me. But things got out of hand at my house. Inside, outside. And yesterday, the men's group showed up and hauled off over 1,000 pounds of junk out of my yard. My yard looks the best it has looked since Chuck passed away. God will meet your needs.
Amen.
If you have a care, give it to Him. There's freedom in that.
Come on.
And each of those men worked so hard. And I'm going to tell a story on Gordon. I'm sorry, Gordon, but I'm not. He came and knocked on my door. He said, "Sharon, can I use your facilities?" I said, "Sure, Gordon, come on in." And he went into the restroom and he didn't come out. And he didn't come out. And he didn't come out. I thought, well, maybe I missed him. That door sticks. Maybe I should go get Pastor to see if he's locked in there. Finally, he came out. He has the heart of a servant. He said, "Sharon, that toilet lid won't be slipping on you anymore. He was in there fixing the things in my bathroom." That's the heart of a servant. Wow. And as you serve Him, those are the kind of people He will send to you when you need them. Miracles can be spiritual. They can be physical. They can be angels. And they can be the people sitting next to you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Hallelujah. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you have your Bible, or if you have your phone or your iPad or whatever, turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. This is a story that many of you will recognize, but let's go through it, and we're going to read through it, and then I'm going to point some things out to you. In 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such a place at such a time." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And there came by night that surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. His servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" They're having fun back there. And he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young men, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike the people, I pray, with blindness." He struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led him to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened the eyes, and they saw, and that they were inside Samaria. Here's the deal. We've got to be able to see before we can trust. Let me say that again. We have to be able to see before we can trust. And I'm going to develop that, but listen, you've got to be able to see that God is with you in your circumstances before you be able to trust Him that He'll pull you through whatever you're going through. Right? You've got to be able to see. And sometimes I'm not talking about a vision of the Lord. I'm not really even talking about seeing Jesus come down. Like I've said before, I wouldn't mind that at all. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the Lord opens your spiritual heart and your eyes to see Jesus today in your life. Right? Because when you get a vision of who God is and what He's doing in your life, you're going to be like Elijah right here. Now, come on. Most of us are like his servant. Go back to verse 17. And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he might see." Remember when Jesus said, "Lord, I know you hear me before I speak, but for their sakes, do this thing. I know you're here, but for their sakes, let them see." So again, imagine this picture and think about it. You're with the man of God. You've been having a pretty good time with him, right? He's prophesying all these things and they're happening. And all of a sudden they're in the city and he wakes up one morning, he looks out and here's a whole army of the Syrians. And they're bad warriors. I mean, they got their stuff together when it comes to fighting. And it's just not the warriors, but they got chariots, and they're all arrayed, and they're coming for one man who happens to be his boss. We're in trouble. All I can see is what the enemy is bringing against me. And Elisha says, listen, silly. I'm going to show you something here. Lord, open his eyes that he might see. Come on. Open his eyes that he might see. I think sometimes that should be our prayer for people who are going through things. Lord, open their eyes so that they can see you in the midst of what you're going through. Come on. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He said he'd be with us all the time. Amen? Come on. If there were angels around Elisha, don't you know that there's angels around you? In Hebrews it says, aren't they all ministering spirits to minister on behalf of the heirs of salvation? You're an heir of salvation because you inherited that inheritance came when you made Jesus the Lord of your life. I don't see angels. I know people who do. I don't see those things, but I know they're here. They're here right now. They're filling this room right now. And watch this. The Bible talks about that at the speaking of the word is when they draw their swords. In other words, we've got to see God and see his word and begin to act on his word, and God will dispatch whatever is necessary to see you through. This is so good. The next verse you all know, but I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 1. You see, you said, I've read these verses before. I even have a calligraphy on my wall, or I have, you know, something with these verses in it. But you see, I don't want you to just see them on the wall. I want you to see them in your heart. My prayer is, Lord, open their eyes so that they can see what you're saying today. Come on. Open their ears, open their eyes, open the expanse of their heart so that they can put this inside of them. So that when they go home, they'll know. Right? Glory to God. Chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they shall add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not into your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. See, we must begin to see God in everything. This says trust in the Lord with all your heart. But you can't trust him if you can't see him. And again, when I'm talking about seeing, I'm not with the physical eyes. But what I'm saying, you have to see in your heart that he's with me. Whatever I'm facing today, he's with me, and I can trust him because I know that he's got my back. Right? And whatever happens to me, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, if God is with me, then who can be against me, right? Even if I suffer persecution, even if it's to the point of death, God is going to be with me, so I can trust him because I see him with me today. I see him in my victory. I see him in my sorrow. I see him in my grief. I see him in my faith. I see him in everything. And the more I see him, the more I trust Him. The more I experience Him coming through for me time after time after time, I can trust Him. But listen to me, every morning we have to get up and see. Because if we don't see Him this morning, we won't trust Him this morning. Yeah, He came through. We had great victory. We had a party. It was awesome. We did all that. But you don't know what's happened to me today. Well, you know, come on. See Him. There was a person, anytime you talk to them, it was the worst day of their life. Oh, they were going through it. The devil was after them and this and that. And it was just, oh man, you don't know the struggles and the trials that I've had today. I wonder if they see Jesus at all. I wonder if they see Him being in their lives at all. Do they recognize Him? Do they see the picture of who He is and what He's done? Right? He's Jesus. He's for me. He's with me. Even the Holy Spirit, who He said, it's expedient that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send you another Comforter. I've said this before, but think about that for a minute. You're with Jesus. You've been with Jesus 3 years. You've seen a few fish feed 5,000. You've seen dead come out of the grave. You've seen all of these miracles. You've seen Him put the religious folks in their place with just a word or a question. You're with Him and you go, man, every day something new. We see Jesus every morning we wake up. We see Jesus. But then Jesus says this to him, it's expedient that I go away. What? You talking to me? I don't want you going anywhere. No wonder that Peter said, no, Lord, that'll never happen. No, Lord. And Jesus had to turn and get behind me, Satan. Right? But watch this. He said, it's expedient. Why? Because I'm going to send another Comforter. And that word another is, it takes on the form in the Greek of one who is the same kind or identical like. But He's not going to be just with you like I'm just with you. He's going to be in you. Now watch this. Here's the difference. Is if you wanted to be with Jesus, you better be in by the Sea of Galilee when He was there. Or you better be in Jerusalem when He was there. Because if you weren't where He wasn't with you. But here's the difference. Here's the difference. Wherever I go, He is. Because He's not just with me, He's in me. But do I see that? If I don't see that, I won't trust that. But when I get up in the morning, good morning. Benny Hinn years ago had a book, and I love the title, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. In other words, he woke up in the morning, and the first thing that he did was acknowledge. Do you know how you start your day sometimes will determine how it ends? Right? Somebody said to Smith Wigglesworth, well, how do you start your day? And he said, well, I get up in the morning, and for the first 15 minutes, I dance. He's in his 80s. I dance. And then I begin to praise. And then somebody said, well, how do you feel? He said, I don't let my body tell me how I feel. I tell my body how I feel. Why? Because he saw Jesus, the first thing, right? Experienced the love of God, the first thing. And that determined the rest of his day. Who do you see? Go back again to verse 1. I want to point this out. See, sometimes we're trying to see Jesus, but we want to see Him in the co-pilot seat instead of the pilot's chair. Now, verse 1 again. My son, do not forget my law, But let your heart keep my commands. You can't see Jesus in your daily life at the front of everything you're doing if you're doing things your way. If you're doing things the way you're not supposed to do. If you don't take this word as the final authority and say, well, God, it may not be popular today, but this is what I believe and this is what I'm going to act out and this is what I'm going to do. You see, you can't see God as anything but who He is. Let me say that again. You can't see God as anything but what He is. He's not what you make Him up to be. He is who He said He was. He'll do what He said He'd do. He's not going to compromise and say, well, I understand it's 2023 and, you know, things are different and you've got this pressure out here and that pressure out there. That doesn't matter. What you have to do is you have to see Him as He is, because He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. If He was for it back then, He's still for it. But if He was against it, He's still against it. Well, that's not popular. I don't care. Do you want to see Jesus in your today? Then you have to line up with Him. And you have to determine in your heart that no matter what happens, I'm going to walk after Him. Verse 3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so that you find favor and high esteem in the sight of God. Do you know, and still today, to this day, they have, in the Jewish tradition, an ultra-Orthodox Jews, they put the Word of God in little amulet things, and they have leather straps to them, and they'll tie them around their forehead, or they'll tie them around their wrist. And if you know many Jewish homes, most of them that are observant at all, when you walk into the door, there's this little thing that hangs there, and the Word of God is in that. Well, it's significant to the Word of God, the law, the Torah, is for me, and I'm for it, and this is what determines how I live my life. You see, unless you're in the Word for the Word's sake, right, you're not going to see God, and therefore your trust in Him will not be at its capacity. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then it says, trust in the Lord. You see, if you're in the Word and the Word is in you, there comes a place where you see the Lord in everything. I wish this was automatic. I got saved, so I see God all the time. And again, I'm not talking about visions from God, but I'm saying I see Him in everything. I see Him in my struggles. I see Him in my victories. I see Him in my defeat. I see Him when I'm tired. I see Him when I'm upset. I see Him in everything. But I'm telling you, when you begin to get the attitude that I'm going to see God in all of these circumstances, then I can trust that He'll be with me in the outcome. Glory to God. Glory to God. When you see that foreclosure notice come, and you go, oh my God, what am I going to do? But you skid in your chair and you just say, Lord, I just trust You. I see You in all of this, Lord. As long as, you know, I have You and my wife, and Lord, it doesn't matter where we are, what happens, I'm going to trust You. And you get quiet. He says, don't worry about it. I got it. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. Right? What I'm trying to get you to see is that you've got to see Him in everything. And you won't see Him in everything unless you put this first. Right? Yeah, but what does the doctor say? Whose report are you going to believe? What does the banker say? Whose report are you going to believe? Yeah, but look at the world system. I mean, the dollar is going to heck and all of this is happening. This could happen in America and that could happen in America. You've just lost your peace because you saw the world instead of seeing Jesus in your world. Look at, I still believe this, and I'm not ignorant, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't do practical things, but I believe this, that if they tell me I can't buy anything anymore, if they tell me I can't have anything anymore, I believe God's still the same God that can bring a raven, the same God who can bring manna, the same God. He's the same God. In the wilderness, and they got in trouble in the wilderness, and there was all kinds of pestilence coming. And they said, look at anybody that will look up at the pole will be healed. What I'm telling you is look not only at the cross, but see the cross empty. And the fact that it's empty means that it's finished and that He's done everything that needs to be done for you to be free and in victory in Jesus' name. But you have to see Him bigger than your circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you won't have trouble. I'm not telling you everything is going to be just peachy keen and you'll never have any situations. But what I'm telling you, when you see Him in your situations, all of those situations will work out. Hallelujah. God expects us to do our part. Amen? If you're in your Word, you're going to find out that He says certain things that you're supposed to do. But God, I don't want to do that. Tough. You know, there's verses that say forgive, well, then I'm going to forgive. If they say don't be bitter, I'm not going to be bitter. If it says, you know, if it says men who don't work don't eat, then I'm going to go to work. If it says to love my wife, it's my privilege to be able to love my wife, right? And she's always lovely, so I don't have the same problem you do, right? But watch this. Whether I want to or not, if I'm going to see the Lord in my life, I'm going to do what He says, whether she's having a bad day or not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, He's with us. And He'll be with us in the midst of it. Here's an awesome thing. You can even be in disobedience, and if you'll turn to look for Him, He'll help you in your disobedience. Go to Acts chapter 27. I think this is so cool. Acts 27. What am I telling you this morning? I'm telling you that God is with you. God is for you. Hallelujah. God is for you. Well, the devil, he's just after me, and he's after me. Well, what are you letting him be after you for? Turn around and see Jesus, and see the name of Jesus, and see the blood of Jesus that was purchased for you, and begin to use that against your enemy. Right? But no, we don't see him, we see our troubles. I got troubles, whoa, whoa, right? No. I got Jesus, yeah. Come on, I've got Jesus. He's with me, He's for me. And we're going to start reading in verse 13 in Acts 27. But what I want to tell you before we get up, this is a story when Paul's being taken to Rome, and he's you know, got soldiers all around him, but they're in the ship. And he's told them, he said, listen, I don't think it's good. We shouldn't sail right now. And they said, what do you know? You're a preacher. We're sailors, and we've got orders, and we got to get you, so we're going. He said, not a good idea, right? So they had a man of God who was speaking prophetically to them, and they didn't listen. And verse 13, we'll start there. It says, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desired putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempest headwind arose called the Acheron, whatever. And when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, they let her drive. And running under the shelter of the island of Claudia, they were were secured with skiff and with difficulty. And when they take it on board, they used the cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest that they should run aground on the citrus sands, they struck and were driven. Because they were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. And on the third day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with our hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved, we finally gave up. Had given up. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, why you should have listened to me and not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and to whom I serve." That's shouting grounds for me, right? Because if Paul had one, I got one. Let me say that again. If Paul had one, I have one. And if I have one, you have one. I may not see him, but he's there. Right, good buddy? He's there, right? He's there. Hallelujah. I've had people who have the gift of seeing in the Spirit talk to me about several times. They've watched me preaching with two angels on each side of me standing, and they were huge. Right? They're huge. Right? I don't see them, but they're there, right? Why? Because there is one that stands by me. Oh. Again, verse 33, as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food, eating nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And they were all encouraged and took food for themselves. Now, I could go on and read the whole story, but watch this. This is so important. You trusting in God, you seeing God in the midst of wherever you're at, whatever your situation, will affect everybody that's around you. But if you don't see God, then you'll lead them into destruction and instead of peace. In the midst of the storm and the ship's breaking up, everything's lost. We're going to be all right. In fact, listen, I want you to eat because you're going to need some strength when it goes ashore to get on shore. But you need to all get there. In fact, I'm telling you right now, I want to ensure you that I got these angels with me. They're going to take care of me. They've already told me this. But on top of that, I have a covenant with God. And before we eat the rest of the food, I'm just going to take communion right here. I'm going to eat communion because he said, whenever you do this, remember me. And this is the remembrance of the covenant that I have with you. So I don't just see the angels here. I see Jesus here. Right? Every time you take communion, Jesus is right here. He's right with us. He's for us. We have all of his promises with us. And the more I see him, the more that I can trust him. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you one story and then I'll start to close. Watch this. This is so good. I'd been working at 7-Eleven. Many of you have heard this before, but it's my mic so I can say it again. Some of you haven't. We're going to Bible school and I was working for 7-Eleven from like 11 at night to 7 in the morning. Those were my hours. And I'd been there a little while, and all of a sudden this guy came in, and I was over cleaning the coffee pot areas. I'll be with you just in a minute. But that whole night, I'd been reading a book by Judson Cornwall on worship. So all night I'd been worshiping the Lord in a very deep, deep manner. So I'm telling you, I was not intoxicated with wine, but I was drunk in Him. I knew He was with me. So this guy comes, you know, and I walk over and I went behind the counter like this and at the register, and I said, "Can I help you?" And he went like this and he pulled out this pistol and put it in his pocket. "Give me all your money. Give me all your money." And it looked like a toy pistol to me. I don't know. It looked like a toy. I said, "What, are you going to rob me with a toy gun?" And he said, "Oh, I'm going to blow your," some colorful language, "head off," right? "I'm going to blow your head off." And I said, this was what came to me because I was in His presence. Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What's the worst you could do to me? I'll be with Jesus in the next 3 seconds. Right? And he said it a few more times. And finally, it's kind of a stalemate. It seemed like a few minutes, but it probably was just seconds. Well, I started to go around the counter and he took off. But you see, those demons saw the angels that were behind me. The demons that were in him saw the angels that was behind me. And I've been spending time and I knew that God was with me. Come on. And so therefore, I didn't have to fear the outcome because the outcome was always going to be in my favor. It's a rigged game. Because he said he's for me. He said he's with me. Do you see Jesus in your life? Come on. The first thing that we must do every morning is seek the Lord. Now, when I say that, really, I'm not talking about, oh, I've got to pray for 10 hours and then I've got to read the Bible 6 hours. Those things would be good, but that's not really what I'm saying. I'm saying that when you wake up in the morning, say, "Good morning, Lord. I'm so glad that you're with me. I'm going to put you first in my life. In everything, Lord, I'm going to trust you because I see you. I see you've got the pressure that I'm supposed to be under today. You've got that. You're going to be with me when I go into my interview. You're going to be with me when my boss wants to have that meeting with me. You're going to be with me. Come on. If I get fired today, you're going to be with me and you got something better for me on the other side, right? If come on, whatever it is, you got to see him. Because if you don't see him, you won't trust him. And it said to trust him with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways, all your ways. Always acknowledge him. Jesus, you're here. Father, you're with me. Holy Spirit, thank you for guiding me. I acknowledge you right now. Yeah, but they left me, or they abandoned me, or they did this to me. Well, Lord, I don't know about all that, but I know that you're with me. And everything that you promised, you'll bring to pass. Jesus, you came and you were anointed to heal the brokenhearted. You were anointed to set at liberty those that have been bound. You're there with me. So we must seek the Lord. The Bible says, seek and you'll find. You know, you ought to rejoice before you find. Right? Why? Because the Bible says, if I seek, I'll find. But I don't feel anything. I don't care about feeling. So if I'm reading the Word, I'm finding Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? I didn't get anything out of that. You know, either you or God's a liar. Right? I got something because I was reading in it the ingestion, the putting in His Word into my heart gives illumination. And the Holy Spirit, who's the teacher, will take that and use that. Right? And I found this. I found that the Word that you put in today may not come into... You might not use that today, but there's coming a day. There's coming a day when that'll just rise up out of you. Because I got it. It's in here. So when I'm facing something, it's in there. He's with me. Shouldn't you be scared? He's with me. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I'm never afraid to preach, and you could ask Renita that. I don't care where I am, if you ask me to preach, I wouldn't need to say, well, I'll take 3 days, find a sermon, and come back to you. I said, okay. And if they said, I want you to preach on, you know, Philippians chapter 5. I'd say, well, first I got to find it, because I don't think it's there. But whatever, wherever you place me in the Word of God, I can take that and preach. Why? Because I'm that good? No. But because I know that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me. And that I believe that when I open my mouth, He'll fill it. See, I'm not dependent on me because I trust Him. Because I see Him. Do you see Him? So the first thing, you have to seek Him. And then you have to trust in Him. You know, I think trust and faith are really close together, but they're different. I think faith is, I believe, bless God, I believe. But sometimes trust is, I don't understand a thing that's going on, Lord, and nothing makes sense to me, and I don't have all the answers, Lord, but I trust You anyway. All of my circumstances seem to be against me, in conflict to what I believed You were going to do. But Lord, at the end of the day, I trust You. Hallelujah. Why? Because I see You. And then in Philippians chapter 4, it says that we have to rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Rejoice in the Lord when you're having victory. Rejoice in the Lord when?
Always.
Hallelujah. Always. I've said this before, probably have a sermon or two by it, but rejoice is a choice. You may not feel like rejoicing, rejoice anyway. I said you may not feel like rejoicing, but rejoice anyway. In the midst of whatever you're going through, in the deepest, darkest, you know, hour of, you have to see God in it. But when you see God, you have to rejoice that He's with you and that He's for you and that He's going to see you through. Glory to God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoicing in the Lord is kind of like some old tractors, they used to have these, the way they got them started, they had a magneto on them, and they had this big wheel on the side, and you spun the wheel, and it'd go, pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. Spin the wheel, pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. Spin the wheel, pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. But once it was ready to go, you go, pa-pa-pa-pa, and it'd go, and take off. Sometimes I think our rejoicing is, pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. I don't feel anything. This isn't working. Do it again. God. There's something got to be something. And off you go. Right? Because He's with you. He's for you. He's not against you. He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. He said He'd give you wisdom. He said His peace is upon you. He said His joy is on the inside of you. He said everything that you have need of, He's already provided. Glory to God. He knows your beginning and He knows your end and He knows everything in between it. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to see Him in everything. And when you see Him, you can trust Him. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that Your Word is true. And Lord, my prayer again this morning is that everyone who's in the room that's going through whatever they're going through, whatever storms that they're facing, whatever victories they've just had, that they would begin to see you in everything and begin to praise instead of complain. Begin to rejoice instead of grumble. Because God, how could we ever come close to giving you the honor that you deserve? You're holy in this place. You're holy in this place. Father, I ask you to be with everybody that's watching online. I hope that at home you're just rejoicing in the Lord because He's with you, He's for you. Trust Him. He will see you through. God bless you. Thanks for watching in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If I could have the worship team come up, we'll...